Welcome to Confessions of a Sales Pro. My very special guest this week is a returning guest, a gentleman and a good friend by the name of Joe Roberts, the Skid Row CEO, inspirational leadership speaker in beautiful White Rock, British Columbia. Joe is the winner of the Courage to Come Back Award, has received an honorary doctorate from Laurentian University, and was recently awarded the Marussia Service Award from the Governor General of Canada. Joe's life wasn't, however, always this amazing. In fact, 30 years ago, he pushed a shopping cart in Vancouver's downtown east side as a homeless drug addict. 12 years later, he was on the cover of Canadian Business as a celebrated entrepreneur. In 2017, Joe did something amazing. He completed a 17-month, 9,000-kilometer walk across Canada, raising millions for charity. Having experienced both catastrophic failure and extraordinary success, Joe teaches how anyone can overcome perceived limitations and create extremely high-performance results. Joe, welcome back to the podcast, my friend.
Hey, it's good to be back again.
Thanks for taking the time. I know you're busy. Your new book's bouncing off the shelf. You're speaking up a storm across North America. So thanks for taking the time to share some insights and some of your inspiration, Joe. You're my inspirational leader, so I always get charged up after a conversation with you, my friend. So, Joe, I'm fascinated by your rags-to-riches story, because it truly is, in every sense of the word. How do you use this experience of yours to help business leaders today?
Yeah, I think there's three unique things that I bring to the table, Ian. The first one is perspective. You know, most people probably wouldn't be able to understand what it's like to push a shopping cart in Vancouver's downtown east side, to live under a viaduct, struggling with, you know, addiction and homelessness. But the last couple of years, we've all been in a similar situation where we've dealt with fear and uncertainty, the ground's moving underneath us, disconnection socially, having to, go to bed with that hamster wheel that won't shut in our head, waking up with problems that don't have solutions, and not necessarily making the right choices dealing with life stressors. What I do is I come along and go, yeah, I get that, and I share this incredible story of transformation, but then sort of put some flesh around it and give perspective on how do you move forward after that. The second thing I think is creative problem solving. You know, it's like when we look at the last couple of years, it's like I lived in an environment where 10 years I woke up every single morning with an unsolvable problem. Yeah, and I somehow had to figure out how I was going to solve that problem at the end of the day. And I think that's one of the greatest things that's come out of the last couple of years is that we have been stretched, and that never goes away. The neural pathways in our head on how to solve problems, but how do you actually, how do you extract that? How do you look at it? How do you build it? How do you share it with teams? And the last one, I think, is maybe it's a little bit more opaque, but the understanding that no one's coming to save you, right? Is that, I had the pleasure and opportunity to work with Jocko Willink, the Marine, Navy SEAL Marine, who absolutely brilliant guy on leadership. And, he talks a lot about ownership. And one of the things that I understand, having had that catastrophic failure in my life, is that no one is coming to save you. So what do I got to do today? How do I got to think? And how can I teach that to others so that, we can get the cheese back on our cracker and move forward towards our hopes and our dreams and our goals? And understanding that it's not about some macro force that's going to come along and change. It's not the government that's going to save you. It's not the market that's going to save you. It's not hooking. It's not timing the market. It's none of that. It's taking personal responsibility for where I am right now, where it is that I want to go. And I think those key things tend to be a theme in almost everything that I do.
That's wonderfully said, Joe. I love the three, like perspective. And you're right. Coming out of the COVID hangover, if you want to call it that, we went through some terrible uncertainty, fear, locked up in our homes, not sure if the world's coming to an end. So perspective, that's a big one. The second point you made there is creative problem solving in any aspect of life. You know, there's lots of ways to skin a cat, and using that creativity to bring out some solutions is a fantastic mindset. There's no doubt. The third one is huge. Your friend Jocko nailed it. Nobody's coming to save us. It's up to us. It's ownership. We've got to own it and take personal responsibility. I love the answers to that question, Joe. Thank you. Something else that's always been on my mind. Like, I don't know anyone in my life, and I never will again, I suspect, who has walked across one of the greatest land masses on the planet called Canada. What's your secret or formula, if there is one, that you have used to create consistent high performance results, Joe?
Yeah, it's interesting. The walk across Canada, I think one of the primary pieces was tapping into purpose. So a little bit of a backstory to that. I got to a place where I'd acquired, you know, some success and position in life and wanted to do something to pay it forward. And vulnerable kids is a real big thing for me. And it has to do a lot with my story. So I wanted to do something to help support vulnerable kids. So we concocted this engagement strategy to have a conversation with Canada on what we could do to better protect kids so they don't fall through the cracks. But walking across Canada and building the campaign to walk across Canada and get it funded was probably one of the hardest things I'd ever done. And it wasn't just the walk. It was, you know, it was building this project that took years. And there's three main teachables that come out of this. We actually used the model to achieve this. And so the takeaway is that there's really only three things when you're tackling big things in life or in business that you need to manage. One is the action. What is the actionable item that needs to get done today, this week, this month, right? So if you want to lose 30 pounds, what do you need to do? Well, you need a pair of sneakers, a gym membership, a coach, a community. Maybe you need to read Atomic Habits by James Clear, right? So what are the actionables? What are the things that need to happen? What is the implementation? Number two, inspiration, right? So what is the why for you? What's the bigger thing that's going to drive that action? This is one of the reasons why I think executives have pictures of their family on their desk. They remind themselves why they're putting in those 16-hour days. It's for them, right? That why needs to be, that's split in the atom. When we can connect people to the why or the I, yeah, you just, something phenomenal happens. But the third piece is roadblocks. And I think this is where a lot of personal development stuff falls short, is that we don't acknowledge the situational and psychological roadblocks that get people stuck, that get people distethered from why and get people out of action. But when you manage those three things, action, inspiration, and roadblocks, that's AIR, right? And so the cool thing about the AIR model is it's really the formula for achieving possibility. Whether you're trying to double your company, whether you're trying to get President's Club, whether you're trying to walk across Canada. The cool thing about this model is it's not mine. I was taught this by premier sports psychologist and co-founder of the Push for Change, Dr. Sean Richardson, and it was his PhD work. He's a former Olympic athlete and a high-performance coach. So what I love about teaching that is that anybody can achieve massive, massive transformation and do things if they simply manage the action, connect to possibility or their inspiration, and understand that roadblocks are a part of the game.
I love the formula there, Joe. That is so clear. Your purpose for vulnerable kids, what a heart. Your heart is the size of Canada. You didn't just walk across it. You left love everywhere you went. So that's brilliant. The three points, action. Nothing happens by standing still waiting for the phone to ring. We've got to take action to make things happen. And maybe we don't get a touchdown on the first play. Maybe we get a first down, but we're heading towards the goal. And inspiration. I got goosebumps when you said inspiration. I always do. Finding the why. It makes me think of Simon Sinek's, you know, the golden circle model. Find the why, and that differentiates everything and gives us the inspiration to persevere. And knowing that there's going to be roadblocks. It's life is not a straight line. There's a lot of squigglies, but we got to get back on the road, back on the path towards our goal, driven by that inspiration. So fantastic things, action, inspiration, and roadblocks. I love what you said there. And we touched on this a little earlier about the whole COVID thing. Like, with so much change and businesses really recovering from post-COVID, What can you share to help people actually move forward, Joe?
Well, I think the first thing is to understand how we think and how a lot of change isn't something that we necessarily thrive in as human beings. So there's two modalities in which my brain can be in at any given moment: probability mindset and possibility mindset. Probability is seeing the problems in the world, seeing the limitations in myself, seeing how all the macro things out there are going to get in my way, right? And so the challenge with COVID is it put a lot of people in a defense mode, in a survival mode. And when we go into a survival mode, our brain tends to keep us in things that are safe. You know, there's a great book, I believe, by Daniel Kahneman called Thinking Fast, Thinking Slow, where he points to this, right? I think that the other side of that, though, is possibility. This is where I get super excited, because I know even though it may look really scary out there, there's always possibility. And with great change and great disruption, there is massive, massive opportunity. Possibility mindset is so inspiring to me, Ian. It's the foundation upon which I see everything in this world, because I came from an impossible environment and have done some impossible things simply by using possibility. So what is it? Possibility mindset is seeing the world not as it is, but how it could be. Seeing people not as they are right now, but how they could be. This is the thing that we admire in a soccer coach with our kids. This is the thing that we admire in that mentor of ours. You know, this is what created the skill sets that everyone listening to this call has, that somebody invested in their possibility. They didn't have those skill sets back then, but they invested in them because somebody else could see it. Oftentimes when we can't see it ourselves, right? Possibility is the thing that we admire in all great world leaders and social change makers. It's the thing we admire in Nelson Mandela. It's the thing that we admired in the speech by Dr. Martin Luther King. It's the thing that we admired in that one-legged boy from Coquitlam who had the audacity to try and run across Canada to eradicate cancer. Was it probable? There was a lot of things. Right? And, of course, I'm talking about Terry Fox. That's why we admire that. The other thing, too, that's really cool, you know, is that everything that we see in the physical world once only existed in the opaque imagination of someone. From the combustion engine, the Industrial Revolution, commercial air flight, the iPhone. Look, this is the one thing that we admire about Steve Jobs, right? This is the guy who had a vision for putting a dent in the universe. And a lot of times people couldn't see what he saw, but they were willing to follow that possibility, right? So I think that it's shifting from probability mindset to possibility mindset. You know, and one of the things to be aware of is to protect that possibility. You know, when you turn on the news today, whether it's the red channel or the blue channel, they're only selling two things there, Ian: fear and outrage.
Yeah. Right?
And so, you know, Buffett talks about, you know, show me the five people you hang around with most and I'll show you who you are, or something to that effect. And it's so protecting that possibility mindset needs to be the foremost thing that you do, because it's the embryo that will create the extraordinary, things in your life. And ultimately, it's about long-term. It's about legacy.
Love what you're talking about. And I feel and see daily the difference between that probability mindset and the possibility mindset, Joe. You can just see it in people, even in their body language. So you're walking down the street and you can say, I think that person's not having a very good day. They're seeing the world, from the glass half empty point of view versus someone else who's on their day, having a day, making it a great day, and they've got that possibility mindset. I like what you said also, Joe, about when there's disruption, that equals great possibility. And once we get into that mindset, it's like a good attitude. We've got to invest in protecting it, because there's a lot of things coming along, whether we know that they're there or not, they're trying to influence that mindset of ours. So we've got to protect it. We've got to put some armor on it. Not that we're not open for collaboration or communication, but keeping that possibility mindset is worth investing in. It truly, truly is, Joe. Like, you've done a lot of leadership keynotes, speeches around the world, Joe. I know you have. You've rubbed shoulders with a lot of high-end leaders in companies and in government. What do you think makes for a good leader, Joe?
Yeah, this is a neat conversation. There's a bunch of things. And, you know, what I love about LinkedIn is I'm constantly seeing, I like that idea. But if I said that there was there was one thing. It's the idea of supporting a person and challenging their behavior. So when we talk about empathic leadership, sometimes there's a bit of a wash on this where it's not about being soft. It's about supporting a person, but challenging their behavior and bringing them up and drawing the best out of them. So I want to work and be around people who aren't necessarily just going to, you know, give me a pat on the back. I want people to call me out, right? I'm here today because people had tough conversations with me and said, Joe, you're all right, but what you're doing isn't working. Right. You know, 40 years ago on a park bench in front of the Army Navy in downtown Vancouver, a guy named Gus looked at me and he said, there's more to you than you can see. He spoke to my possibility. At the time, he and I was dirty, disheveled drug addict. That was selfish. I made every conceivable mistake the young man could make, but he spoke to my possibility. But then he had some hard words for me and he said, you need to do this and you need to do this and you need to do this. I think that as leaders, how do we find a way to support our people? How do we find a way to acknowledge them? How do we find a way to say, hey, attaboy? You know, just recently with all the flight cancellations across eastern part of North America, there was an email that was sent out by the CEO of United. And over 150,000 United customers alone were displaced. And I can't remember exactly what the entire email, but he said, look, there's, you know, this disruption. It was out of our control. I want to thank you for doing an incredible job. But then he said, I'm really proud of you. So acknowledge that, you know, this wasn't an ideal situation, but supported them. You know, when we support people, when I feel supported, I feel you got my best interest in mind. I will go to war for you. You will get, you're basically tapping into something deep inside me, and that splits the atom. And I will give you absolutely everything. In an age right now where there's this, you know, soaring mental health, where productivity's fallen off, where the conversation about working from home, coming to the, all of that stuff. If you're tapping into the best interests of the people in front of you, yeah, they'll give you their very, very best.
Love what you're talking about. I mean, that to me is a t-shirt, Joe. Support the person, but challenge their behavior. And I mean, there's love in that, but there's also, you know, support in that. There's encouragement, but there's also accountability. I also like what you talked about, and I call them courageous conversations. And you know, you can't just come out and have that because it can feel like judgment. If you start with the love and the support, now you've got their heart in their ears, and they will listen and give you that massive commitment you're talking about. Wow, Joe, that's fantastic insight on that one. Really, really enjoy it.
You know what else? Go ahead. Is that when you do the challenge behavior, you can go back to that ear model and ask the question. You know, 30 years ago or more, you taught me, you know, everything I know that I use in sales about, you know, don't close, qualify. In fact, you know, I used your intellectual property this morning on two deals. But when you're challenging behavior, if you're using that ear model, you can ask the question, what does this individual need the most help with? Is it action? You know, they need a little nudge. Is it inspiration? Are they just tethered from, you know, the thing that drives action, or are they dealing with a roadblock? Is there something they need? Is there some help? Is there some support? Do we need to get them some resources? You know, it's really cool because these things all sort of dovetail together.
It's a connected universe, and I'm still glad and proud of you, Joe, for using my methodology like maybe no one else has. So congratulations on that. Awesome. Continued success. I'm a big fan of yours too. Now, your life's amazing. I mean, at one point you've got to write the final book. I know you've got a whole bunch, but like the talks about all the things you've been through, all the things you've learned, all the things you've passed on to so many thousands of people you've inspired around the world. I know. I mean, you've probably lost count of the number because you speak to very large audiences. Here's a question for you, Joe. What brings you the most joy in your life?
You know what it is? It's standing in front of a crowd of people, whether it's 30, you know, high level decision makers in an organization or, you know, 10,000 people in a stadium and telling them what Gus said to me 40 years ago, there's more to you than you can see. You know, and the tragedy of life is that it's not that it ends too soon, it's that we wait too long to begin it because of fear, because of inaction. You know, because of those internal roadblocks. And I love nothing more than standing in front of a group of people and saying, reach in your pocket right now, and there's the keys of that Bentley Continental. It's always been there, baby, and all you got to do is pull it out and go, boop, boop, and take that sucker for a ride. Inside each and every one of us is this untapped powder keg of potential and possibility. When we, each one of us, wake up to it and pick up the mantle that's our opus, you know, our push for change and march forward with courageous action, we can change our worlds and we can change the worlds of others. And so what I love is this thing, you know, this leadership legacy. I don't do it from the corner office. I do it from the stage. But I love it when people come up to me 5 years later or 3 years later and say, hey, man, you won't believe it. I hit President's Club. You won't believe it. You know, I got out of that crappy marriage. You won't believe it. You know, but our family really struggled when my wife was going through cancer, and your words of possibility. Oof, you know, I get emotional because I get to take the worst of me and bring out the best in others. And I think that's what every single one of us want, is we just want to know that what we do, the work that we do, makes a difference, right? And for me, I get to do that with people, you know, and I get to share that message that Gus gave me on that park bench. And honestly, Ian, that's all I want to do with my life. That's it.
What a mandate, what a mantra, what a mission, Joe. Like, you just gave me goosebumps, and truth be told, I'm drying my eyes right now, too. There's more to you than you can see from your old pal, Gus. And wanting to share that amazing life lesson so well as you do with so many thousands of people around the world, what a mission you're on, my friend. And again, fantastic a story. I'm inspired talking to you. It always happens, Joe. Whether we're at the coffee shop or out on a walk or we're doing another podcast together, I always get goosebumps when I talk to my friend, Joe. Joe, listen, thank you. Before I let you go, again, thank you on behalf of all of our listeners today. You've inspired, you've intrigued, you've made people scratch their head and want to know more how it can be implemented for themselves in their lives and overcome the challenges that they might be facing today, take their game, take their life to another level. How can our listeners best reach out to get a hold of you or get their hands on one of your books? Or how do they get a hold of you, Joe?
Yeah, so most people listening, I would think, are connected on LinkedIn. The easiest place to find me, Ian, is on LinkedIn. Joe Roberts, Skid Row CEO. I'll pop up. You'll see the little shopping cart in my name. That's one place. And then skidrowceo.com. Go to the webpage. We got a new website launching real soon. So, yeah, and look, if you're planning an event, you're putting something together, you think I could help, you're not sure, just reach out, DM me, and happy to jump a Zoom call and just sort of walk through it with you.
That's fantastic. Again, my amazing guest, returning guest this week, is my good friend Joe Roberts. Joe, thank you for taking the time and being on the podcast and sharing your amazing inspiration, my friend.
Hey, thanks, Ian. Yeah, just my last parting words to everyone is, you know, just have a great day unless you made other plans.
I love it. Thank you, Joe, and thank you all for listening to Confessions of a Sales Pro.
If you have found this episode informative and helpful, we would be honored and appreciative if you would share this podcast with other great salespeople like yourself. And we look forward to you joining us for all new episodes weekly, every Thursday. Please subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. If you'd like us to help you grow your sales commissions, visit us at salesmentoryou.com. Confessions of a Sales Pro. Lessons, more wins. With Ian Selby.